You're listening to Rust Belt Running.
Running is what makes me realize that, like, I'm a human being who is worth something.
That is not a good measurement of my value as a human.
We get between 8 and 10,000 additional comments, and I read every one of them.
So you had to run Sand Run for your first. You become race director and take it out.
it's got to be old guy naked in the locker room.
I get to spend time with my friend Adam. I get to do something with my friend.
Right now, I'm not thinking much beyond what I'm going to be drinking next week at this time.
Coleslaw on a taco is not taco, it's barbecue.
And so we'll be discussing tonight with some occasional swear words from Andrew because he's upset, and that's okay.
I know him as the biggest Kid Rock fan around.
You ran that.
Oh, dear God.
You're listening to a live edition of Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE, joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger. You can find on social media at Andrew Runs a Lot. If you want to find the podcast on social media, Rust Belt Running is where you'll find us. Today, we're on with Tina Oprin-Ree to talk about the Women's 6K Festival. Tina, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're good. I'm good.
Good.
I'm living the dream.
So I don't want to speak for Andrew, but
yeah.
I mean, that's all you can do.
I'm living somebody's dream. I'll tell you that.
Still know who's it is.
Yeah.
Still figuring it out. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us. We're very excited. We have much to talk about today.
Yeah.
We have on June 4th, we have the Women's 6K Festival, which we're going to go plenty into. But you do also coach at Malone University. And when we had you on, I'm sorry, I didn't prep you for this at all. When we had you on last year, we talked about you coaching at Malone, and we mentioned we should do like a mid-season recap. Well, cross season is far behind us, and
Yes. We're
getting right into the meat of track season.
Yeah.
So how has it been going?
It's going well. Fall was a transition for me, actually. I took over the men as well. So not only coaching the women, but also running the show with the men's side. I'm fortunate. I have a wonderful assistant coach, Noah Schaub, and he's super helpful, and he essentially leads the men's side of things, so that's been a lot of help. But track is looking good. We had our first outdoor meet last Saturday. It was freezing. Yes, so really it's only up from here, because that was torture. But the athletes, I mean, they had a great attitude. I was actually really proud of them. So
yeah, you posted some of that.
I did. It was brutal. And like I said, they were so good. They were quiet about their complaints, if they had any, and they sucked it up and ran. So I think I'm doing something right, you know, teaching them to be tough. So I'll take that.
You know, it's tough getting into your track that you told me I could use.
I'm so sorry. I don't know how we're running into this issue every time you try to get in. It's like everyone else, easy peasy, it's open, but it's like every time you've gone, there's been something going on or it's occupied.
Yeah, so, I gave up.
I'm sorry.
I gave up. It's, you know, I tried one summer to do my track workouts on a track and not just around my house. Here I am. I have the track and field coach from a university around the corner from me tell me to use theirs, and I can't even do it.
I promise you, next time message me, I will personally make sure it's available.
Can you put the reserved for event sign up from
me? Yes, I would, just for you, Andrew. I mean, I've really screwed up, so I'm sorry.
They just found out that you swear a lot, Andrew, and they can't have you on campus with that.
That's true. You get fined if you say bad words. So,
really?
It is a rule. I'm not messing.
Is this like a really expensive cuss jar? Or
yeah, like where does this go?
Does it go to an ice cream party at the end of the year?
I would hope so. That's actually a really good question. Like, where does this money go to?
Yes.
That's a question I should ask one of the RDs. What do you do with the money?
Find out and let me know.
Okay, I will.
We'll help fund it.
Right. Yeah, I'll go run around the track.
As long as it's for something good, we can help fund it.
Yeah, I'll do 800 repeats and just tell myself I don't want to do this anymore a lot, but much more colorfully than that.
Okay, yeah.
We really brought you on to discuss the Women's 6K Festival, which is taking place in beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm biased. 4 minute or 4 mile run from my house. We had you on again. We had you on last year. But we had you on after the fact.
Yes.
Now we get to have you on before.
I know. So, here we are.
A month ago. So is this open? Yeah, this is through the USATF and it's like the national championship. So is this open to anyone or just the really fast people?
No, that is actually a really great question. Initially, when we created it, it was only just going to be a road race. And obviously, we talked about it last year of how it came to be a USA Track and Field event. But really, there's two races, is what I like to say. There is the USA Track and Field Championship part, which is the really, really fast ladies and crazy, crazy, crazy times, which I know you both know. But also the bread and butter of the event is really the open race, which is just like any other 5K, any other road race that you would sign up for, where anyone can do it. All talents are welcome. And really, like, I want people to sign up. I want people to do that and realize it. So last year we had about 400 participants in the open race. So hopefully, you know, big wishing, but hopefully we can double that field size. And same with the elites. We had about 50 elites, I believe, compete. So it'd be nice to raise that number for this year.
You have, you were telling us before we got on that you actually have some sponsorship opportunities here for high school girls to run this as well.
Yes. Yes. So what's really, really cool is obviously I work with Malone University and they're one of our bigger sponsors that actually help generate funds so that we can make things happen, like have high school girls participate in this road race for free. And so they sponsor 100 girls to register for free, and they run the 6K completely for free. And the benefits, I believe, of doing a 6K is, you know, a lot of these girls running in high school, some of them might not go on to run in college, but when they are considering running in college, they are bumped up to 6K on grass. And so I always pitch it like, hey, this is a great opportunity to race a 6K. It's not on grass, but you're introduced to this distance that you could potentially be competing in, you know, in a few years. And so I think it's an outstanding opportunity for ladies to run in it, or young ladies to run in it. I'm so sorry. I'm so used to talking about adults, not girls, you know, girls, ladies. But it's such a great opportunity. I mean, it's at the end of the school year. Not all those girls are going to make it to the state meet, which is that weekend, I know. And so really, it's an opportunity like, hey, I'm in great shape already from district, regionals, whatever. I should just go do this 6K. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Well, and I want you to describe, like, some of these are going to be recycled questions from last year.
That's all right. It's totally okay.
But so some of these girls who don't make the state meet but may have a chance to run in college, this is a really good distance for them to run, isn't it? Please explain why.
Yes, it's a great distance because they are going to be racing it in college. I mean, you race competitively on grass and cross country is 6K. And sometimes I know my freshmen come in and they're like, oh my gosh, a 6K versus a 5K. And being a coach, I'm like, it's actually not that much different, but it is good to get one under your belt. I always say that the first 6K is kind of funky. It's weird. You're not sure how to race it. And so the great benefit of our race is break in those high school girls for this distance if they are looking to race in college, because they're going to be introduced to this distance. It's inevitable. And what better way to just race a road race that is, it's not meaningless, right? It's a great opportunity, but, you know, essentially it's not going to mean not too much for their career because, you know, they're looking to race fast for their school, not for a road race. So I feel like there's nothing to lose doing, you know, the 6K as a high school girl. And again, so many ways and benefits why they should.
I like that too because, well, I was going to say, I like that too because it's a road race, which is going to be different from what you experience in cross country, but you're doing it with some of the best athletes in the world. You said an elite, you had a field of what, 50 last year, and you're looking to double that. Like, you're being exposed to people doing this at the highest level that you can do in the world. And that's just, that's a once in a lifetime experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was really neat last year. You know, those really top-notch athletes racing, and there were some young girls like that were really, really excited to see some of these elite runners. I mean, these are names that are big in the running world. And so of course, a young girl that's, you know, looking to become better in her own journey is going to know these names. And so not only are you, you know, running this distance, but you're also, like you said, being exposed to this talent and seeing it on that kind of level. And it's awesome for my athletes as well. You know, my athletes work it, and they were even in awe, like, oh my gosh, there's so-and-so, there's, you know, the girl from NC State was there, Ellie. And so they're just really, really pumped to see these awesome women run fast. And also it's, you know, it's cool. It's a women's event. You get empowered, and, you know, those elites also want to make an influence on those young ladies.
So obviously, you know, you said you had 50 elites, and hopefully many of them come back. It's very exciting though, that the USATF in general allowed this to happen again. I know last year, you know, it was, we're going to try to do it again. We want to, but you know, you weren't, I mean, you couldn't commit because you need this big governing body to give its stamp of approval. So what kind of went into that, and was it easy? Were they just super impressed with last year? Kind of how did that process look the second time around?
Yeah, sure. Well, the second time around, I mean, the bidding part is always like the long, lengthy work of it. It's just so many pages. But what was really neat is, USA Track and Field were just really impressed with the event. They loved the small town feel of Canton, Ohio. Jim Cheney, you know, Tony, Dave, Matt, and I, our Run 2U racing team, we really just showed them like a really hospitable time. And I believe USA Track and Field really, really liked that. It wasn't kind of like, We aren't hoity-toity by any means, but we were super accommodating to these elites, and the elites loved it. I mean, they loved the entire experience. Jim Cheney and I received, you know, multiple emails from them thanking us, like, this was awesome. I loved this whole experience. We'll be back for next year. And they are. I actually have been talking to a lot of elites recently, and they're really, really excited that we're having it again. And so it just goes to show you that, USA Track and Field was on board, which is really, really cool to see, like, this event not only, you know, get to happen in Canton, Ohio, but we also were able to get it again. And I was really happy with that. I was actually really scared that someone was going to try to take the 6K. And I was like, no, this is our claim to fame. This was our idea. So I'm really happy that we were able to get it again.
Can you drop any names of who's coming back?
Won't right now, just because I hate to speak too soon. Let's just say that there's always a lot of drops that happen literally like days before the race. So I'm just going to keep quiet for now.
Yeah, we saw that last year.
Yeah, who was
It was Sarah Hall.
Oh, Sarah Hall, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. I was like super pumped. But so I've learned my lesson to just maybe keep quiet for now.
That's fair.
Well, that happened like the day before, like 2 days before though, didn't it? She was supposed to be.
Yeah, it was literally like 2 days before the event. Yeah. So
I remember I was stalking her and Ryan's social media. I was like, they're still in like, where are they at? Like, where do they live in?
I think they're in Colorado, aren't they?
I think they're in California. I think they're in California. Wherever Ryan Hall is from.
I'm not sure. There. I don't know.
We have a running podcast and we don't know.
I know.
Yeah.
All the times we crapped on Ryan Hall and I don't know where he lives.
When did we do that?
No, back when, like four years ago when we started, I didn't crap on him. I talked about how I did like years ago when he was running. And
I mean, there's a couple runners that we've done that, but Ryan Hall.
No, I didn't. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm like, why are they where they live? Like, she's supposed to be flying here. That doesn't make
sense. Right. You're like, wait, what's going on? She's supposed to be in Canton, Ohio. But But yeah. Yes, it was very sudden. So again, lessons learned from the first year that maybe keep my mouth shut and just wait to see who shows up. So you'll just have to come that day and cheer them on. How about that?
That's fair.
I mean, yeah, I'll be there. If anybody needs to know, the Rite Aid, it's still same course, going to be finishing down by Centennial Point.
Yes, nothing's changed.
There's a Rite Aid that will sell you alcohol that you can drink. It is the designated outdoor drinking space in downtown, which is amazing. So you don't even have to hide your mimosas in a water bottle like a friend of the pod, Andrea Sanchez, and I did last year.
I welcome that. My family actually came down last year as well, and they were doing the same thing. And I think it's awesome. I mean, the whole thing is supposed to be a celebration.
Yeah.
So come as you are and celebrate these awesome women and be empowered. So good for you.
You talked about the process being lengthy. A lot of pages trying to get USATF to agree to this. What specifically in the bidding process are they looking for from you guys in determining that it's going to be you that decides to get this race as opposed to other places?
Sure. They just want every detail laid out. So they want to make sure that you're dialed in and that you've thought through every, you know, worst case scenario type of thing. And so you just really need your ducks in a row when it comes to the logistics of the course or the logistics of, you know, one thing I'm working on right now is setting up like the drug testing for the elites. And also you need sanctions for a USA track and field event. And so there's just these like very tedious, you know, tasks that you need to get done and that you need to think about before, you know, you put in the bid so that you, you know, explain your event to them thoroughly and that you know what you're talking about. And so it's just a lot of questions of like, okay, where are you going to have porta potties? I mean, it's like everything to a T when it comes to directing a race or planning a race. So it's really things as small as like, where are the porta potties to like, how are you setting up the drug testing? Is the course certified? Is it a USA track and field certification? Things like that. And so it definitely just takes a lot of time and a lot of legwork.
I'm sorry, I'm still looking for where Ryan and Sarah Hall.
They're in Flagstaff.
I was figuring you were looking this up. I'm like, one of them has to be looking this up right now.
I thought they were in Colorado. Anyway.
See, I was right. I'm sorry. I like to be right. And I was like, Arizona.
I just heard a podcast with Scott Fobel because he left Hoka Naz Elite and now he's being coached by a coach up in Colorado. And he's splitting, I think, his time between Colorado and Flagstaff. And he mentioned Ryan Hall. And so that's why I think that's where my brain thought he was in Colorado.
Oh, yeah. He's running with Joe Bosshard now.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's the only dude that is on Team Boss, which is cool.
Yeah. He was talking about he won't do track repeats with the Boss Babes because they're much faster than him in some of the 200 meter repeats.
That's funny.
Yes.
He could probably fill the swear jar at Malone University if he was 100. There.
Probably. There you go.
Yeah.
Where were we?
We were talking about
logistics of just the, you know, USA track and field bid and the details
they're looking for. Yeah.
It's all that.
Drinking downtown.
You were talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you left off. Adam and I were on a different page, but yes. The drinking downtown as well.
Oh, I do want to say I loved how well that race represented Canton last year.
Oh, thank you.
And you know, there's not a lot that, with the exception of First Fridays downtown, that's like what that and Hall of Fame week is like what all of downtown was like kind of revamped for and where the money came from.
Yeah.
To have something else down there that I think, and I mean, the turnout was great too.
Yeah.
I just really enjoyed that. Now, are you from Canton? I can't remember. Like, are you from here?
Yeah, no, I actually am from here. I went
to Central, right?
Did. See, it's all coming back.
Yeah, because I almost made a joke about how many siblings you have.
Yes. I get that a lot. It's okay.
So you have a lot of other Catholics.
You know, it's to be expected with those comments. So, but yeah, I grew up here, ran for Canton Central Catholic, ran for Malone. And here I am. representing Canton, Ohio with this women's 6K. So it's pretty cool. I actually am wearing the shirt too. Just, you know, it's a pretty cool shirt.
I love the logo.
Thank you.
No, actually, I love that logo.
Shout out to my husband's printing company. Their graphic designer is pretty neat. So I have to give him that little shout out.
And shout out to you for getting married. Congratulations.
Yeah, you added a name.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. I was like so sad when it was all over. I was like, this is it. That's it. It was so much fun. Let's go do it again. Go on.
Oh, one thing that was fun was I actually got to congratulate you beforehand in person at Haunted Forest.
Yes,
Saw you at the turnaround. I knew it was coming up. And
yeah.
Because it was only like a couple weeks after, right?
Well, no, actually, it was like two months away from the wedding. Because I got married on New Year's Day. So it's easy date for him to remember. He won't forget, hopefully.
I had to
make my anniversary our code to unlock our front door.
There you go. You won't forget.
No, because if people ask me what my anniversary is, I have to like type it.
You're like, wait,
make sure I know.
Okay, so my question there, Andrew, is did you make it the code so that it would help you remember your anniversary, or did you choose it as the code because it was easy for you to remember your anniversary?
It helps me remember when my anniversary is.
Okay.
Because I always get the dates mixed up.
Right.
Always. I'm always a day late when I talk about when the day we got married.
So what's the day?
Well, I can't tell you that because then you'd be able to get into my house.
I was seeing if you stop on that.
I gotta be real careful.
Here's the problem now. You're gonna post something about a happy anniversary and anybody that's listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Is gonna know.
Oh damn it.
You'll have to like do it on a random day.
Yeah, that's well.
Just pick a random day.
Just happy anniversary, babe.
Just throw in your social security number and perhaps your mother's maiden name and
right.
It'll be absolutely fine.
Yes.
Speaking of marriage, so the date of this race is on June 4th. And you told us, you said one reason why it's not ideal is the state. You told us you didn't like the date. The girls' state championships for track and field are that day. And you know, you're even doing this high school sponsorship for girls. And you're like, oh, that's not ideal. But there was another thing. You might not be able to take part in the designated outdoor drinking space in downtown Canton as much.
I will be drinking that day at my best friend's wedding. So I'm going to have a pretty crazy week. I mean, we have the rehearsal dinner the night before and, you know, we're always doing things for the race. So what I'm going to be doing is obviously, put together and have my ducks in a row, you know, before the race day, but I'm literally going to be sending off the elites and then sending off the open race and getting in my car and driving up to Wadsworth. So it's gonna be crazy, but if you know me, I kind of run that type of ship. I like to like live on the edge and just go for whatever reason. And I've worked on not doing that to myself because it can be exhausting and I can get burnt out, but here I am gonna be doing all the crazy things. So you just gotta roll with the punches.
So you're not gonna be there for the finish?
No, I'm
wow.
So, ooh.
I'm so sad. But I can't miss my best friend's wedding, you know? You can't do that.
So is your best friend getting married was not part of the bidding process? That was not a detail they cared about. Got it.
You know, I was actually, and how I figured out the two dates were the same day actually was I was on my honeymoon and I got the email from Jim from USA Track and Field. I'm like, June 4th. That date sounds so familiar. And I'm telling my newly husband this and he's like, that is Emily's wedding. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I'm like crying. He's like, we'll figure this out when we get back. Let's just enjoy the honeymoon. I'm like, okay. But it's all gotten figured out. Jim and I have talked openly about it. And you'll get a little cool video from the race director at the end of the finish line. So I will be there, just not there.
Will this be pre-recorded or will you like be in the car like live streaming?
Okay, that would be a little too much. It will be pre-recorded. It will be pre-recorded. It'll be a little more professional than that. I will not be driving and videotaping. No.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could broaden our horizons, Adam.
Listen, she just talked about how it would be more professional than what I just suggested. There's nothing about you and I that suggests professionalism.
Yeah. That's fair.
That's...
Come on.
Well, we are having fun.
Yeah. So can I chime in on something? I want to
please do. This is your
show. You mentioned, you know, downtown Canton being known for like the first Friday. So what actually is really, really neat about the date is the night before is first Friday.
Ooh, yes, it is.
Yes. And so we have pitched to even the elites, like, hey, make this like kind of a mini Canton vacation. Like, you know, be chill because, you know, they're going to want to go to bed early and be calm. But go check out downtown Canton. And then that evening, Saturday after the Women's 6K Festival is the Blues Fest. So it's really, really neat. It can be a whole like shebang this whole weekend of, you know, first Friday, Women's 6K, then the Blues Fest. So I've been pitching, you know, to people like, hey, it's going to be a really fun weekend in downtown Canton. So super excited about that.
What was the city's response to last year? I guess this kind of brings up, you know, you kind of naturally brought us there. What was, the city itself, what was their response?
You know, they were really, really supportive, but not supportive earlier on where we could have had more support, if that makes sense. They really loved the idea and they were like, we wish we would have been more involved. And so now that we have that first one under our belt, like the mayor is like in total support of this, and they want to be a part of this. I mean, they recognize that this is a pretty big deal. It's a USA track and field event, championship event, and you have some of the most best, you know, elite caliber women runners in Canton, Ohio. And so I don't think they understood maybe the significance of it, of this event at first, and now they do. And so we actually have a lot of support this year where the mayor is going to try to have, you know, the roads swiped and all the cars off the road. That was just something that we ran into the first year where on the course, you know, there was cars still parked on the side. And so we just want the entire course opened up, and you know, it's not going to be for that long. But yeah, we really have their support this year. And last year they thought it was really, really neat, and now they understand the significance of it. And so really looking forward to just working with them this second year around has been a lot of fun.
So they're going to be more helpful to this race than they are to Jim and the Hall of Fame.
We would hope so. Let's cross your fingers.
Is this helping him at all? Like,
I hope nobody watching live is on the Canton City Council.
Well, I hope they are.
Because... I will say no. The city of Canton has done a really great job. We were all actually, Jim Chaney and us, the city of Canton. We were downtown in the Chamber of Commerce with the Jazz Festival director and First Friday directors. And we were all in one room just hashing details out to be like, hey, like we all have one goal, which is to make Canton thrive. We're all, you know, together in on this for this weekend. And so we're actually really supporting each other rather than like, hey, you can't have this there and there. We're utilizing each other's resources and coming together. So it's been a really neat process watching that, just because, I mean, you know, things could go south real fast with things like that. But instead, we've just really come together as a city and like, hey, our goal is to bring people to Canton and make the city of Canton thrive. And so if we can just work with that goal, that's just, you know, work off each other's resources and make this whole weekend a thing.
So is it helping Run to You Racing in the Hall of Fame marathon then? Because I know Jim's been up against it with the city.
Man. Yes, I want to say yes.
Okay.
I do want to circle back a little bit as somebody who, despite growing up in this area, really has not done much in Canton. Let me help you sell your whole Canton shebang here. What is First Friday?
What is First Friday?
Yeah, what is this?
Yes. So it's always going to be the first Friday of every month.
Okay.
Downtown Canton, where essentially they just put up all like the local Canton businesses. And usually there's like local artists. They bring in food trucks when it's warm, and they basically close down the entire city of Canton and make it like a, almost like a maze walkthrough where they have different vendors showing off their artwork or their business. And oftentimes, you know, there's drinks available. Andrew, there you go. and it's a really fun time. It's just kind of an evening where, you know, you showcase the city of Canton's businesses and art exhibits, and there's food trucks, and it's just kind of a fun little festival every Friday. I mean, it happens every Friday of the month, every first Friday of the month.
And that'll probably be the first warm one we have.
Yes. And so I'm so excited. It's going to be summer. And honestly, I mean, that Centennial Plaza, as you guys know, it's a really, really cool plaza, and it brings in people. And so I'm just really thrilled about the fact that it is going to be a part of that weekend, even though there's other, you know, things I'm running into with that date, but a lot of good things as well.
I like it. That sounds really cool.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So go out, Adam, first Friday.
And Andrew, I want to point out that I've said to you before that we're going to have nicer days before June 4th. What is going to happen is, after this travesty of a training cycle that Mother Nature has put me through, we're going to get 80 on May 1st.
Oh,
I'm going to run my marathon, and on May 1st, it's going to be 80 degrees. It'll be 40 the day before.
Yes, it'll be perfect weather, and then it'll just drastically change.
Yes, yeah. And that's going to be the cherry on top to this training cycle for this marathon that I'm going for.
That reminds me, totally unrelated to the 6K. I asked you last year.
I know where you're going with this.
And, I don't know where this is going.
I do.
Oh, now I kind of remember.
You had mentioned that maybe the marathon at some point, but you weren't going to do it until you were going to take the Ron Swanson approach. You don't want to like half-ass two things. You want a whole ass one thing, and you want to really be able to whole ass a marathon and get an OTQ. So what's the status on that? It's a year later. We should have some.
I'm feeling the pressure.
Don't do it.
I don't have a response to that question right now.
Who's coming to the 6K. Won't tell us about this.
I know. I don't. I will say I was on a really good just kick with training again. Once I came back from my honeymoon during the new year, and then work just got really, really complicated and overwhelming with indoor, and just some other things happened. And so I haven't been running at the moment. So, but I don't know if that gives you any.
You haven't missed anything with running. This year has broken me.
Well, let me just tell you, I would love to do something in October.
Fall races are great.
Well, we'll see.
She has her eyes
on Columbus.
She could start something halfway. Do the half marathon. It doesn't take over your life.
What else is there? You're not doing Haunted Forest. You work for that race.
Yeah. I'm just saying October. I'd like to do something in October.
Akron's in September.
Yeah, Akron's late September.
So maybe she doesn't want to run in Ohio. Chicago?
No.
She said something. She didn't say what. If you're not going to commit to a marathon.
She said no to Chicago. Yeah. And she kind of chuckled when I said Columbus.
We'll see.
All right.
Too much pressure. I don't know. We'll see.
We can.
I like to do things like low-key style, you know?
That's fair.
And then people were like, wait, where did that come from? They have no idea, you know?
I want to know. I won't tell anybody. Like, you don't have to tell me right now.
All right. Yeah. I'll let you know when I need some help with some reps.
We can meet at your track.
You go. This is perfect. Andrew, you got your in now.
Yes.
I just want this closed for an event. Well, I forget what that sign says. And I'm sorry, I'm all over the place right now.
That's okay.
But how has this is going to be super personal. How's married life been?
It's been wonderful. I mean, everyone's like, oh, you're in the honeymoon stage. But it's been really, really, really good. I like seeing him every day for now, you know.
I don't know.
Every time I say a positive thing, someone's like, just wait till you have kids. Or just some comment that's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me enjoy this.
Or just wait until you realize how many electrical outlets you have in your house.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that. Yeah. I'm going to have to ask him about that.
She told me she was going to have to yell at him because she had to, her computer is plugged into the wall that the lamp behind her is plugged into.
Yeah. At one point I saw you unplug the lamp and I'm thinking like, it's going to get dark out there. No, as someone who grew up in a house that was built before the Civil War, I totally appreciate the difficulty of like extension cords being run across the room because the people that put in the electricity didn't ever anticipate like computers and needing more than one outlet. And
no, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This building is very old. And so, yes, I have been running into that issue. And, you know, my desk is right here. And I was like, oh, great. This is a cool little spot. But I realize it has no outlets, so it's across the room, but that's okay. We figured it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe you should just move the desk.
I could, but that's a little heavier than what I just did. So I'm just gonna keep this desk here.
She's working smarter, not harder, man.
It's very fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about working smart. Same with training. It's all about training smart. Sometimes you go hard, but you don't need to always go harder.
No, I mean, most of the time you need to go, when you're doing more marathon training, I'm talking to a collegiate coach about how to train.
You can go ahead. I'm always open.
Not at those distances. I mean, I'm sure some of it's similar. I mean, you're still piling on mileage at that point. There's still a lot of easy runs to go.
Yeah. So
what's some of the toughest things about coaching college athletes?
The toughest?
Yeah. Like, what's your biggest obstacle with,
they often get in the way of themselves.
How so?
Yeah.
They just, not all of them, but, you know, it's all about the buy-in process. And so this tends to just get in the way of that, of fully trusting, you know, the training or themselves, really. And so that's always the biggest issue, I think, is with young adults, is like they think they know how to do something and it's kind of breaking those bad habits, right? And like high school, like think about high school running. I don't know. When I was in high school, I would literally like be shooting out so fast and thought that was the way to race, and it's not, you know? And so I've had to like learn in college that there's a thing such called as pacing. And so it's just kind of, you know, reteaching these young adults that there is a way to this. And so just put your pride down, you know, pride just can get in the way with young adults. And so I feel like a second mom. I feel like I'm getting really good practice if I ever have children at this age. So I'm like mastering it right now, but, they often think they know better, and they don't. So it's me like having to be like, hey, look, I've been there, I've done it, you just need to trust this. And honestly, I have really great kids, and so oftentimes it doesn't take more than once or twice for them to like figure it out and listen to me. But you know, that's probably the biggest challenge I run into, is just their pride.
Do you, because I coached high school soccer for 12 years.
Oh yeah. I remember you mentioning that.
And I know one of the things that I ran into was that there seems to be an assumption that like if a student athlete decides like they're going to participate in a team sport, the assumption is like, well, they're absolutely 100% on board to like do all the things they need to do to win, to mm-hmm. be successful at that level. And a lot of times that was true, but there were times where the guys were like, yeah, we're here, but we're not necessarily going to go all the way. And so it was always kind of like working through like, no guys, like I have certain high standards that I want met.
Yeah,
and just simply showing up and doing what I ask you to, there's more to it than just simply that. That's like the baseline. Is that something you run into with college athletes, where you've got athletes that are there and they're going to do the work, but there's the more to it that they need to kind of reach for?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So when I obviously I'm new still in my head coaching position, but it's really, that's all team culture. And that comes down to the coach and setting that expectation like you talked about. And so for me, the last even year, because I've taken over the men too, and that's been this whole gigantic new thing for me and figuring out like this whole program, right? And obviously Malone is built on a legendary program from Coach Hazen. And so, but it's also formulating it as my program and making my own legacy and creating team culture. And so I want to say in the last year or so, I have ran into that just because the team culture wasn't matching what I was creating, if that makes sense. And so for me, my team culture is we have core values. And one of the values is, you know, passion. You need to have passion and you don't need to be a state championship runner to be on my team. I actually love welcoming all talents. Do I want to win? Well, excuse my French. Hell yeah, I want to win because I was a phenomenal athlete, not to brag, but like I knew what it took to get on that next level. So I'm really competitive. And of course, I want to go to nationals, but I also just love developing runners. And so for me, it's not just about, you know, you don't need to be a state qualifier to be on my team. But if you are on this team, I'm going to hold you accountable for giving me your best effort and trying your best. And I always know when an athlete is doing their best versus when they're not. And sometimes like I run into those pride things where I call them out for it and they're like, well, I am. I'll be like, no, you're not. And so, yeah, I would say the last year, especially just kind of cultivating that team culture, you know, redoing that over since I am in charge now, I've definitely run into that. And I've had to weed some athletes out, actually, because I'm like, hey, look, it's okay, but you actually don't fit the mold anymore. And I'm going to kindly dismiss you. And so it's been hard. It's been some hard conversations, I would say, in the last year with that. But it's getting to a place where I can get the athletes that I want. And the athletes can get the program that they want as well. So it's not just about me, it's about them.
Sorry, my parents, one dachshund was voicing her approval of what you were saying.
Oh, good. Yes. I'm so glad.
I was really hoping that was your dog, Tina, because I love it when our guests' dogs make appearances.
I have a wonderful dog, but I think he's with my husband right now. So
I want to say that, like, when you said, pardon my language, I was expecting something really good and then you dropped it.
I just said hell. I know.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible, so I can say it. There's no cuss jar for that word.
Okay.
I still love the idea of the university having
I just want to know where it goes. What's been the biggest difference that you found between coaching women and coaching men?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I would say men can remove their emotion and separate it and get the work done, where women tend to, you know, they have a bad day and they take it to practice with them. And so it's been working on, you know, choosing to take those emotions and put them on side with the women. But I would just say we're wired differently too, biologically. And so it makes sense that our brains are different. And so I would say that's the biggest thing is the men can separate their emotions from the running, whereas the women, and not always, but the women tend to kind of bring everything they did that day to practice. And so I do have a rule, you know, we come in and we do a team huddle and I always say, sometimes I have them close their eyes because I can feel the tension of the stress that they brought on the track or the course. I'm like, all right, we just got to take 3 deep breaths and then go on your warm up. And so that's probably the biggest thing is having, teaching them how to just separate that. And again, men can do that and they're not going to take things personally. I'm a very direct person and that's how I coach, is giving, you know, the direct truth. And sometimes it comes out harsh. And so I've learned to kind of become a little softer in my delivery, but, you know, they can separate that. They can be like, oh, coach is just coaching me. And sometimes the women are like, coach doesn't like me. And it's like, no, that's not it. I'm just doing my job. So that's the biggest thing.
You always have to draw that line between like motivating somebody and sometimes any of my experience in leadership from years ago, I realized I always wanted people to care as much as I did, which wasn't always going to happen, which would really make me come across like a real dick. And you know, I think that's that like fine line that you have to walk. And I think you get that through, you know, years of experience and, you know, and not just in leadership, but in life and maturity. And do you ever have an issue with that? Like where you feel like you want it more than your athletes? And like, how do you approach that type of conversation?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely been times where I've had to like check myself and see where my values are as well. Like, am I caring more about winning or am I not caring about this athlete and where they're at? Because one thing that I've learned in coaching is you have to work with the athlete of where they're at right then and there. You cannot force something that isn't there. And if they're not motivated or they don't want it as much as you do, you can't force it. And so I've definitely run into that, but I have learned to be patient and like reel it in and work with where they're at right there. And sometimes it is a few conversations. Sometimes it's, hey, asking them openly, is this what you still want to do? And it's okay if you don't. And I've had, like I said, I've had to have those conversations. And then I've had to have some like stern conversations, like, look, you say you want to achieve these goals, but you're not doing X, Y, and Z. So it's telling me you really don't want it that much. And sometimes they see that and then they're like, oh, all right. And then it's like a switch for them. But like I said, you really need to just work with an athlete where they're at in any capacity. You can't force anything more out of them because honestly, it just creates more problems. So I've learned that the hard way of like getting mad and frustrated, but learning like, okay, reel it in, meet the athlete where they're at now. And it's similar to training, right? Think about our bodies. We can't force our bodies to be a certain fitness if it's not there. So there's no purpose of doing these crazy fast workouts when it doesn't make sense to do those yet. And so it's the same thing, I think, with a mentality.
I always tell people that to me was like the art of coaching was that you kind of see like the athlete one with one eye, it's like on where they're at. And then the other, it's like where you think they can be.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the art is trying to marry that. And sometimes it goes well and you actually get those visions to match. And sometimes it's like, for whatever reason, like it takes them longer to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
And you just don't get there. And it's like the art is trying to figure out how you speed that development up, but it's just, it doesn't work the same way for every athlete and you have some successes and sometimes you just don't.
Yeah, no, it's completely like that. And I actually do that with my athletes where oftentimes they're not aerobically, I guess, challenged or their aerobic capacity is not, they're not at their optimal level with cross country. Like they'll be really great 800 runners.
Yeah.
And you know, that time or that mile time dictates they can be really, really great cross country runners. But they're not there yet. And I always show them that number that's projected like, hey, if you're able to run this type of mile, you're actually scientifically like the time makes sense that you can do this time in cross country. So this is like where you could be in your optimization. But right now you're here, but let's try to get closer to that. So I actually do show that to them. It's actually oftentimes during track season, at the end of track season, when we're going into cross country, because it shows them like, hey, you can get this together on the grass. But like you said, it's just like meeting them where they're at and hopefully closing in that gap.
It's fun. I love it.
I love it too. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I don't really know where to go from here. We've bounced all over the place. We've gone from run coaching to the 6K to random spots here and there, back to coaching. I really like the coaching thing.
Yes. I'm here for it anytime.
Yeah, we gotta have you on to just talk about coaching. I said that last time.
Anytime.
But yeah, we absolutely do. And like, I mean, to talk about your training for Columbus.
Sorry. I don't know. We'll see.
Here, I got to meet you where you're at.
Meet me where I'm at.
Yeah.
Maybe. I have no idea.
We do love the race director.
We do.
Puts on a solid event.
Yes.
So you work for not just the women's 6K. You work for Run to You Racing and the other events that they put on, correct?
Yes. I'm mostly the women's 6K now, just because obviously my time is mostly dedicated to Malone, especially taking over the men. And so Jim Chaney and I have had to sit down and kind of reevaluate my position at Run 2 Racing. But I like to be a helping hand in all the events. I mean, I first started with Jim Chaney with the marathon and doing that. And then it obviously transpired into other ideas that we had in collaborating those ideas. But I usually, he likes that I have, you know, students and athletes, because that means volunteers. And so they worked actually the haunted marathon. They were at the water stations. And so I love to just get into the community. And I'm big on getting my athletes to serve the community as well. That's actually one of our core values, is to serve. And so, yeah, we're very much involved, heavily involved still with Run 2 Racing.
You've brought up your core values twice now. What are your core values for your team? Can you share that?
Yes. Yes. It's, passion, serve, team, and oh gosh, I just reevaluated them. Goodness. Can I see what the other, because I haven't actually given it to them.
Well, this makes sense. If you reevaluated, you're
sweet. Well, big reveal here.
Yeah.
On this, oh my gosh. All the pressure.
And we are live.
Yes.
With all two viewers.
Hey, we have four at one point.
Faith.
Okay.
Faith. Yes. Because I go to, yes. Silly.
It is a Christian university. I forget. So how are you Catholic and at Malone? We had a very good message exchange.
You just outed me on this live feed. No, I'm kidding.
But we did have a great message exchange when I first got kicked out of the track. I don't know if you recall, but I told you I was going to go to the far superior Walsh.
You did. You know that. Dang. And they beat us the last few years. So I was feeling all this burn. I'm like,
salt in the wound.
Walsh is a great, great university. I will just say that. And the coach there is awesome too. He's done a phenomenal job with that program. So I have nothing but love. But of course, I'm competitive. I want to beat them. So, yeah.
So how did you wind up with, I mean, I'm sure we went over this last time, but how did you wind up at Malone and not Walsh?
I don't think we did go over this, actually. So obviously Malone has had its reputation for being well, and especially during my time, I mean, they were phenomenal in NAIA. And my mom was actually really good friends with Coach Hazen's wife. So Coach Hazen knew me far before high school even, and knew I was kind of up and coming. And so it was kind of like he thought he had it in the bag that I was coming to Malone. And I actually didn't go to Malone at first. I went to Edinburgh in PA, and I ended up transferring to Malone. So it was really just because my mom was really good friends with Jill. I mean, she knew Jack, and she knew I'd be in good hands. Yeah.
I was hoping it was like going to be spicier than that.
No, it really wasn't that spicy. No.
Recruiting battles of just Ohio college.
Like, I want somebody
cross country.
Before all this NIL stuff, like somebody's like slut, like, you know, handshakes, fistful of dollars and stuff to get you there.
Like, I wish. No, it wasn't briefcase. It wasn't that fancy in my story. No, pretty lame.
Well, I think we are about good to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave us with on the women's 6K?
Just to go register. I mean, I don't understand. Like, sometimes I'm like, people are signing up for 5Ks, and that is great. Run your 5K, but run this 6K, and it's a women's event. I mean, and it's so much fun. And I just don't know if people understand how much fun we had last year. So I just really want to push this event this year. Like, you need to get out there, even if you don't run. If you're, you know, a man, you can run virtually, or you just go out there, be a cheerleader. There's all these ways you can be involved.
And you can drink downtown.
And you can drink, for goodness sake. Come on. I mean, what other event? I mean, there's lots of events you can drink. But it's just, what other opportunity do you have, though, to see really high caliber, you know, former Olympians run in Canton, Ohio? So I just think it's a really cool opportunity for everyone. And so I don't know. I'm really passionate about it. See, that's one of my pillars. I'm passion. I I have passion for the things I do, and so I just want people to be a part of it.
Andrew, you did have one question, you said.
Did I?
From Instagram, didn't you?
Oh, yes. It was so as somebody who got late, somebody wants you to get a Peloton instructor named Bex Gentry to come.
Oh, and, okay.
I felt slighted as somebody who got laid off.
I thought this was a legit question. I'm sorry.
No,
I feel bad.
It said, can you get Bex Gentry to come?
No,
which
okay.
would, I don't even know if she's an American citizen, so I'm not sure if that would be relevant.
Yeah.
Maybe
all
she's
right.
got a passport.
but it's USATF. She could run the Open. She could run the Open. So it's June 4th. What time does it start?
June 4th. We're going to kick off the elites at 8, and then the community goes at 8:05.
So we will definitely, I can't speak for Adam, but I can speak for myself. I will definitely be downtown on June 4th, early in the morning, to run some miles.
Yes.
I will have a bottle of champagne
in
my backpack, and more if more people come. And somebody bring the OJ, and we will get.
I bet we know who can get that. We'll get friend of the pod to come and do it.
Which one?
Andrea. I mean, she's our
She needs to run. She should register and run.
Yes, or walk. I mean, I don't care.
It's in the calendar, guys.
Or stand there and drink. Yes. Just no matter what you do, be in downtown Canton.
1 week before.
Yes.
June 4th.
June 4th. Whole weekend shebang.
Yeah, June 3rd. Come down for First Friday.
Come down First Friday morning, get up, run, or be there. And then there's a blues fest later that evening. So
there we go. Yeah, man, that sounds like a great weekend to live right a $5 Uber ride away.
I know.
I'll need it. So we thank you so much, Tina, for joining us today. Best of luck with the rest of your track and field season.
And warmer weather, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yes. Tomorrow. We got about 24 hours and it'll finally hit again after the snowstorm in the morning. I know. But we thank you so much for joining us. You can be found on Instagram. You have to, it's just Tina Oprin, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then follow the Women's 6K.
Yes. Which is, I want to make sure I get that right. The Instagram handle is W6K Festival.
Yes.
You can find them on social media there. Follow for more updates. Maybe we'll even get some of the elites that are coming to town on there, just not too soon.
Yeah. No, not too soon. But
we very much look forward to being there. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I guess we'll see you then. To our listeners, make sure that you like, subscribe, share, and review us on your favorite podcast platforms. That'll help us reach more people. And we are going to start skipping every other week on these podcasts, by the way, guys. We have too much going on.
Correct.
Can't do this. We can't do this every week. And nice weather is coming up, so we're definitely going to take every other week off.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait. And until we see you again, enjoy your miles, everybody.
Thanks, guys.